Varlcast, MovieVarl.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, managing editor for the site, and I'm here with two of my writers, Ian and Scott, and two very special guests, Rose and Kelsey, who covered Comic-Con for us. Obviously, we're going to talk about Comic-Con today. I want to start off with Rose and Kelsey. They have some great tidbits to talk about. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Thanks for having us on.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. So, what was the first thing you guys want to talk about Comic-Con? I know you have a bunch of great stuff to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing about Comic-Con is, I don't know, there's just some things that you only see at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Comic-Con really has its own culture, its own population.
Yeah. It, like, San Diego changes for that, you know, 5 days or 4 days, so.
Yep.
So we came up with something called OACC.
Right. Only at Comic-Con.
These are our top five only at Comic-Con
moments, if you will.
Yes.
So number five, we're going to bring you. Definitely, only at Comic-Con, it is okay to give out free high fives, free hugs, and free fist pounds. Those are a hot commodity, and
hot.
You will see tons of people walking around with signs that say, free hugs, free high fives, free fist pounds, free mustache rides we saw today.
Yeah,
That was an exciting one. We weren't quite sure what that was about, and then we chose not to ask.
No.
So.
I didn't know they were legal this year.
Oh, yeah. New law just got passed. So it was good, yeah. That was our number five only at Comic-Con moment.
All right,
number four, only at Comic-Con is it totally acceptable to have a sword fight on the grassy knoll. Or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere. I mean, on the escalators.
In the hallway.
In line.
In your car.
Outside.
On the floor.
In the panels.
In your hotel room.
In the bathrooms. I mean, you pretty much get the idea.
Yeah, wow. You can pretty much have a sword fight anywhere you want.
Sword fights abound.
Yes.
At Comic-Con.
We saw very many, too.
And, you know, that isn't really limited to just sword fights. I mean, people were doing the Hadoukens, if you're Street Fighter fans.
Oh, wow.
I did see a lot of those going on. We had some lightsaber fights, so
sexy.
Dueling in general, I would say, is quite
dueling,
okay,
yes.
At Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Very nice. That's kind of scary, because people get in their way, that might be bad.
That is true. Yeah, you got to be careful. And we were actually in, I don't know if I was with you, but I was in a session where it was right before the Star Wars panel, and some people were dueling in the hall, in the aisles between the seats, And the guy had actually come on the loudspeaker and say, you know, I understand we got some Star Wars fans, but can you guys keep dueling to a minimum? Because we don't want you to hit anybody with your lightsabers.
Nice.
So yeah, I truly am at Comic-Con right now.
I mean, so you just got to, you know, act alive and be aware of your surroundings.
Got to, you know,
stay on your toes.
Keep on your toes, yeah.
All right.
So our number three OACC, only at Comic-Con moment, is that it is completely acceptable to stop the flow of traffic anywhere and at any time for any reason.
Yes.
Especially if that reason is to get something like a WB bag or a signature of some obscure artist or some obscure actor who appeared in one episode of, you know, The Addams Family or something. Or especially if you're trying to get that limited edition doll.
It's an action figure.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Not a doll.
But if you're trying to get those limited edition things, those 1 in 500 kind of prints, you know, it's okay to stop where you are and just make everybody pile up behind you. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It happens a lot.
Actually, I have to say, though, this year at Comic-Con, because I think they had a cap on the amount of people who could come, it was a lot less.
A lot less in your...
Oh, whoa. Did you hear that?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But yeah, it was a lot less in your face. Like, it wasn't, you know, there was just a lot more room to move around on the floor. Sorry, we're hearing some feedback. But there was a lot more room to just move around. I wasn't being pummeled by every other person, which was good, because I'm 5'3", and pretty much everyone towers over me and pushes me out of the way. So, it was a little bit better this year.
That's good. Okay, because I know they've been having an issue where it's been getting worse and worse every year.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, just compared to last year, it was
last year was like you couldn't breathe because all the oxygen was being sucked up by everyone else. I mean,
by people dueling in the hall.
They were sweating a little bit too much. All right, so I guess that leads us to number two of only at Comic-Con. Number two, if anything you want to see happens to be in Hall H, Be prepared to wait in the hot sun for 17 hours.
At least.
Yes. No shade. And the line stretches so long that you may find yourself in Mexico once you reach the end of it. So, yeah. Oh, and then water also costs $10 a bottle. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and your left arm. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Hall H, or as we affectionately call it, Hell H.
Yes.
Because you have to wait 95 hours to see anything.
So
but,
be prepared.
Yeah.
And get there early. That's if you get there early, you are golden. And stay in the hall once you get there.
Yep.
Or you could also do the trick that I used where I left and came back and cried and said I left my phone in there and they let me in.
But we're not condoning lying
no,
or
crying.
Fallacies of any kind.
No, malarkey.
We are not condoning that.
No. Professional lying is a crime.
It is a crime. Okay. Moving right along.
Number one.
Our number one.
OACC
moment. If you do not show up in a costume, my friends, you are a part of the minority for sure.
Wow.
If you do show up in a costume, be prepared to stop every 2 minutes for a picture from somebody. And especially if that is if you're part of a group, or if your costume is super elaborate or really creative. Like, for example, we saw the whole cast of Mario Brothers. That was exciting.
That was really cool.
Nice.
I mean, we had down to Wario. We had
super
some Yoshi.
Troopa.
We had a Koopa Troopa. You know,
Koopa Troopa, not Super Troopa. He's a Super Koopa Troopa.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
Yeah.
So costumes, definitely, we would condone the use of costumes for sure.
Yes.
Did you guys? Did you guys wear anything?
Did we wear anything?
Yeah.
I was actually Wonder Woman all weekend long. No, I'm kidding. I we did dress up like zombies on Thursday for the zombie walk, which was fun. But we saw some people like go above and beyond. It was it was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was this girl who was in a Catwoman costume, and man, she had. I mean, it was like leather from head to toe. I applauded her because that had to be really hot, and it was really cool. I mean, it looked like she sewed the thing together herself. It was really elaborate, and
she had the full-on mask thing too, where it goes, you know, under your eyes, and you have the full head mat, full head thing going on. And
wow,
we saw some really. I mean, there's always great costumes, so that's a really fun part of it, though, is to see these people like, you know, walking around looking pretty rad.
Yeah.
So
very nice. I'll have to when I go next year, I'll have to dress up. Do Star Trek or something?
that would be a good idea.
Did you see Star Trek guys too, or is it mostly like?
Oh yeah,
yes.
There's everything. We were talking about how it doesn't even. You could see the most obscure costumes, like we saw, which actually brings us into what we were going to talk about next.
Top costumes,
which was our top costumes that we saw at Comic Con. One of them being Rufio from Hook.
Rufio.
Oh! Are you serious? That's amazing.
Yes, that one was.
Perfect.
I mean,
like,
seriously,
I mean,
out of
like
the movie.
From the movie.
It was really cool.
Which is cool because, like we were saying, you don't have to have something that's, like, necessarily modern or of the moment. You know, it doesn't have to be, like, stuff from Star Trek because Star Trek just came out, or stuff from Iron Man because Iron Man just came out.
But there's still that, too, you know,
yeah,
which is cool.
But you can do some throwbacks, you know. We saw Ninja Turtle today.
Yeah.
That was, like, legit
Ninja
Turtle.
Oh, man, he was awesome.
It was, like, from the movie status.
You can kind of transcend space and time with whatever you choose, you know? It's like, you can have, I see people and I'm just like, I have no idea what they are, but they look fantastic. And I'll see like five people dressed like them, and then, you know, you become more interested in who that person is. But definitely a lot of Watchmen this year.
Yeah,
a lot of Watchmen. A lot of anime, of course.
A lot of anime.
Pretty cool.
Some Naruto, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Hellboy?
Hellboy was
that
a, we
was
saw
a good
a guy
one.
Who was Hellboy.
Wow.
Fully
painted.
Costume, had the big fist going on, had the
his
broken off horns.
Red.
That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, and I did see the dude. I Twittered him. It wasn't Jesus. And the guy, I mean, just like, I'm like, oh my God, you're abiding, man. He looks great.
Yeah, he was perfect.
He was abiding. The dude abides.
And at the same time, you can have people who have costumes of certain characters, but you can also have people who just dress up in weird clothes for fun.
Yeah.
We saw a guy in a wedding dress. Hey.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, that's fine.
That was cool. And then, like, people just, you know, like, I saw a girl, and I told Kelsey, I had to stop Kelsey, because she wasn't dressed like Luna Lovegood, but I swear it was like she was embodying her spirit. She had, like, multicolored hair with butterflies all in it, like, fake butterflies.
Wow.
And she's walking around, like, with this, like, kind of, like, puzzled look on her face, and I was just like, oh my god, that's like Luna in real life.
The embodiment of Luna.
It is. It was just really funny. She had really long hair, and it was just like, I was just like, if that would be her, like, if she was a real person and lived in San Diego or wherever the girl was from.
For sure.
Hold on, I'm going to get Scott in on this one.
Okay.
Because he had a problem. I'll edit this out. Scott, you there?
I'm here.
All right. So, you guys, is there any other costumes? Did you have, like, a top list of costumes, like you had your, had for that?
We saw some really creative ones. One that comes to mind is I saw a few people that had, like, the Sims little green diamond on their head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on a headband, so it looks like they're part of the Sims.
Yeah, I saw some pretty cool Alice in Wonderlands this year, too.
Yeah.
Because that's coming out.
Yeah.
Which Kelsey saw Tim Burton.
I did see Tim Burton.
Nice.
The real Tim Burton.
Yeah, the real.
Was there fake ones?
And not in the panel either, like outside, like going in.
He was not in costume. I chided him for that, but you know.
Aw. Tim Burton's a weird dude, though, so him being by himself is the costume right there, almost.
Yeah.
So it looks like you guys had a pretty good time there, then.
Yeah definitely.
We always have fun.
So did you guys go to any of the panels or anything like that?
We did. Yes. We hit up some good panels.
Hell H
had some
actually,
great panels.
Yeah, Saturday's line wasn't bad. We were there, Kelsey was there for like 20 minutes, and I kind of hopped in.
Yeah, it was really short. I mean, I think I was comparing it to Friday when I was in line for 3 hours, so anything less than 3 hours
and,
was great
and
for
I'm
me.
Sure Thursday with all those Twi-hearts or whatever they called.
Yeah, the Twilighters.
Yeah, Twilighters.
The line for Thursday was ridiculous.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the... there's some bootlegs online of the footage they had and the screaming girls and everything, so I can just imagine how bad it is.
I would not even try to go in there. Even though I do, you know, like the books or whatever, I'd rather not have my ears bleeding.
Yeah, just the audio from the, you know, you can even hear the person on the camera on the bootleg. It's like, oh my god, this is going to be awesome, and things like that.
It's a guy.
No, it's like a girl, it's like a 13-year-old girl or something like that that has that kind of like slightly lower like... Oh, it's just like, oh, it's just sad. And they scream like when Jacob takes off his shirt and all that stuff. And it's just
or any time Edward's on screen.
That too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looked.
Dan and Ian know way too much about Twilight.
Well, I read the books and they're good. And
it just got called out.
Okay, Dan, hand over the man card.
I know, really. No, the books are decent, and the first movie wasn't that great, but the clips actually look pretty good in this one. It's a different director, so hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
But
hey, Catherine didn't do as great of a job as I thought.
Yeah,
because I like some of her other stuff. But
yeah, we read the books and we both liked the books pretty well. When we heard they were gonna make a movie, we were pretty excited, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool. It was a book that you like. It's coming to life pretty much. And
right.
In my personal opinion, I think Rose shares this, you know, opinion was we just didn't feel the movie really lived up to it. So
yeah.
No, you're right. We're hoping
that the
and it kind of puts a damper on it when like thousands of crazy teenage girls get all like nutso over something that you're like excited about, you know, and it just
it kind of makes it seem less real.
Yeah.
It makes it seem a little less legit, like you're like,
exactly.
Oh, I really like this too.
Yeah, there's some really interesting things in it. Like I remember from reading the books that there's some really really great aspects to it, like really it's really well written, some interesting stories and everything, and but then the girl, you know, you get all these 13-year-old girls and all of a sudden its legitimacy just goes out the door.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed by her, like, I don't know, like, her whole background on the vampires, too, you know? I thought it was kind of, like, the whole, what is it, Volturi?
Volturi, yeah.
Volturi. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And
if they bring that back, if they really push that in the films, I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, like, they really stuck, not even about sticking to the books, it's about sticking to the point
the
of what the books were,
the essential
the
stuff.
Tone of the books, yeah, and bringing that to the film, and
yeah.
I just didn't feel that Catherine Hardwick really captured that in the first film. So I'm hopeful for New Moon that it sticks more to what Stephanie Meyer was trying to say in her books, and not really right. about making, you know, a teeny bopper film that I can bring my 13-year-old cousin to, you know.
Yeah.
So. Anyways,
okay, so
yeah, moving along
that we didn't even go to.
Yeah, we didn't plan about talking about either.
So which one did you go to?
Other cool panels we saw. I definitely hit up the District 9 and Legion panel, which was incredible. So
nice.
Had some amazing footage from District 9. I wasn't able to see the Legion footage because they showed it and then they let us in. So that was exciting to see nothing from Legion. The
it
District
sound
9.
Really good though.
Yeah, I saw the Legion panel was cool. They talked a lot about what the film was going to be about, and I tweeted some of the quotes from it. I don't even remember offhand, but thank you. District 9 looks amazing. They showed about 8 minutes of the film. And then they had Peter Jackson and Neil Blomkamp and then the main actor who I can't recall his name right now, but they came out and talked about the film and it was really great. It looks incredible. The premise is really cool. They had a screening of it. I don't know if it was the full film or the trailer, but
no, it was the full. They had a screening of the full film, but only a few people got into that. I think that wasn't.
It seemed really good. It was. They converted me. I didn't even know what it was when I went there, and I was like, "Now I have to go see it." Great. So.
Yeah. No.
Well, here, can I want to ask. Can I ask a question as far as like not giving away too much as far as what you got to see? But you got to see 8 minutes of it. Was it 8 minutes of? I don't know. Was it 8 minutes of action? Was it 8 minutes of interviews? Was it? I mean, again, without giving too much away, what was the feel of what the 8 minutes was that you got to see?
Yeah, also, what was it one clip for 8 minutes, or was it a bunch of different clips that spanned it out for 8 minutes?
It was one clip for 8 minutes, but it did span on in terms of it told us a story about what the film's going to be about. It wasn't interviews. It was full on from the film. It really took us. It told us about what the premise was. So it was saying, like, you know, there are these aliens that are segregated in South Africa, and it talked about District 9, which is where the aliens live, and this organization that's trying to evict the aliens, and then what happens after that. So it looks pretty amazing. It was 8 minutes of action-packed stuff. It wasn't a cheesy clip or here's two people talking for 8 minutes. That would have been ridiculous. Because I don't think District 9 people want to see a conversation, you know what I mean? They want to see the action, and they want to see the blowing stuff up and stuff. So it looked really great. It looked really good, and they talked a lot about they like to use real stuff and limit the CGI, and it showed. It looked really good. So I'm really excited about District 9. And they were talking a lot about Halo and how the Halo project went down. Thank you. And how the Halo project didn't happen and how they were really frustrated about it. Because the director of District 9 was supposed to direct Halo. And the same with Peter Jackson was supposed to produce Halo. So they were working together for that. And when that kind of, you know, evaporated, they got pretty frustrated and decided to kind of create their own thing so that they could have full creative license over it, and that was what District 9 became. So
that's interesting. That's kind of spawned from the Halo issue.
yeah, and people were asking questions about it, and they, you know, having to be professional about their answers and stuff, they were trying to kind of roll it off and be like, well, you know, stuff gets stuck in studio and stuff gets, you know, blocked up in talks and politics and stuff, but I think they seem pretty upset about that Halo didn't get made. I know that they wanted to make it. They're both big fans too. So it didn't seem, people were asking, well, do you see it happening in the future? And they didn't seem like they would. From what I understood, they seemed like they thought that Microsoft, you know, went into making Halo excited. And then when it didn't happen because of the studios, Microsoft, I think, is now feeling like, well, we don't want to risk all this time and money to, again, put our, you know, time into this project that may not happen yet again. So.
Right.
I don't know if I see a Halo movie in the future, if not for a long time. So
yeah, I mean, it's a hot commodity to have, like, you know, the games did so well and everything, and but you know, you start getting into the money issues. If you look at something like Superman, where they did Superman Returns and it barely made the money back. So I mean, it's not always a given that you're going to make the movie just because something's popular.
So. Plus, it's going to get to the point too, to where, I mean, they're doing, you know, Sam Raimi just signed up for World of Warcraft. It's going to get to the point to where how many games can you convert to movies to where we get to the point to where they're boring and useless. They don't need to be done anymore. So
yeah,
I think they kind of addressed that too. They were talking about, you know, the trend right now is really, you know, remaking or adapting things for film. And District 9 is very original. And they were talking about that, you know, it's Neil Blomkamp is from South Africa. So he set the film in, you know, his homeland basically so that it was something different and something new and creative and not an adaptation of anything. And it looks very original, very well done. The main actor, this is like his first movie or something, or something, his first bigger movie. So
I like
he looked great in it. So I'm very excited. It looks really great.
I think that's kind of nice, like a breath of fresh air to have something that's original and new, because I just feel like I've been bombarded lately of just remakes or, like you said, things being made and translated into film, and it just, it's kind of nice to get an original story. So yeah. I'm really actually very excited about that movie now. I think it looks really good.
It's going to be
good.
It
sounds really good.
It's going to be real good.
Yeah, you should check out.
Well, they did the whole, you know, too.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. No, I'm just going to say the whole, you know, Charlton Copley, you know, nobody knows who he is. And, you know, they compare, like, the viral with District 9 to the viral Cloverfield, blah, blah, blah. But Cloverfield was a bunch of nobodies as well that nobody knew. And people got excited for the fact that here you are seeing this film that it's a bunch of people that no one knows who they are. And, you know, you're not going to go in there and thinking that this actor is going to act like their previous characters because yeah. they've never really had anything before. So
makes it kind of more real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit more believable. It's not like Jennifer Aniston as this person, you know,
right.
or
as the head of District 9.
Yeah, exactly.
She plays an alien, right? Yeah. In this one?
Bigger actors in roles like these, I'm just, you know, it takes away because you know that they're a huge actor and you know every little tidbit about their real life that's going on. You know?
Yeah.
If you see someone that you haven't seen yet, I think it's really adds to the movie, especially if they're really good too.
Yeah.
Because then you get totally sucked in.
That's the thing. I don't think there's one name in this movie that people have seen before. I think the only thing Charlton Copley has done was I think he produced the Alive in Johannesburg short.
Right, and he had it. Actually, I need to go back and watch the video because they actually say he has a very small clip as a soldier or something in Alive in Johannesburg.
Yeah,
so
because yeah. him and yeah, because him and Blomkamp have been friends since school.
I think Alive in Joburg is on YouTube, the whole thing.
Right? Yeah, so I was going to say you guys should watch that if you haven't seen it yet. That's the short that he kind of that they based this movie on because, you know, Neil directed it and everything. So he did the short first, and now then he took it and made it into a movie. If you guys haven't seen that, that's always good to kind of look at and see how it compares to the film.
Yeah, so the panel seemed really excited about the film, which is always refreshing because I like to see people that are actually, you know, excited to talk about their work. And Peter Jackson and Neil Blomkamp and Charlton Copley seemed really into the film and really excited about it. So I'm in turn excited about it as well.
There you go. Did you guys, I know you were tweeting a little bit about 2012.
Oh,
yes,
my
we're
goodness.
All gonna die. We're going to die.
you know what's funny? Just a side thing about 2012. I went and saw Harry Potter, you know, first night it came out, and everybody was so loud and crazy, and once that preview came on, it was like a hush, like over the entire theater. Everyone was like, you know, and oh my god! I mean, that movie looks. Yeah. I'm actually really excited because it looks intense, yeah. And I'm a big fan of Independence Day and what else?
He did Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow, I love that one too. So I
and 10,000 BC.
That one's not so good.
Yeah, I'm just worried because Roland Emmerich is known as the master of disaster, both because his movies show a lot of destruction and all that, and because generally no one really likes his movies.
After Independence Day,
Independence Day.
That's my favorite film.
And I like Day After Tomorrow too, but what was I gonna say? He did say that he was kind of done, like he wasn't gonna make any more action movies for a while. He was gonna try and you know, move to a new genre, I think.
Interesting.
He said there wasn't really much more he could do after this movie. He's blown up everything.
Yeah. How many times can you blow up the world?
How many times can you destroy the world, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, if you closed your eyes in that panel, though, it sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger was
It really did.
Wait, his accent?
I said he was actually really good friends with Arnold, too.
That's
so,
funny.
'Cause someone asked him about it, but he seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he showed us a long clip from 2012. God. Pretty much about 6 minutes of continuous destruction.
Oh my god. And of course it was like the whole West Coast. It was just like, we're all screwed. Yeah. We are screwed, man.
So we're
not me, I'm New York. You guys are done. I'm New York. I'm fine.
We saw some of the scenes of New York as well, so you guys might not fare very well either.
I think anywhere near the coast you're pretty much.
If you're doing something like that, how can you not destroy New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You have to. It's just a staple of destruction.
Yeah.
See you later, New York City.
When he showed us the clip, he said it wasn't finished. He said, like, all of the CG wasn't exactly, you know, to his liking, you know, just yet. But, I mean, to me, I was like, wow, if this is going to get any better.
If this is not done.
If this is not done, then the movie's going to be pretty spectacular. Because
yeah.
I didn't, I, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just done.
I think it was funny because we had just seen the day before the panel talking about the CG in District 9 and how they wanted to limit it to as little as possible. And then in the 2012 panel, like Roland Emmerich is like, yeah, I think two cars are real and everything else is CG. So we're like, oh, okay.
She's two cars on the street and then the rest is, you know.
We use two cars for close-ups and everything else is CG. So. Yeah. I mean, it shows because it's pretty some spectacular destruction happening in terms of size and time-wise. And
I'm excited about some of the cast, too. Woody Harrelson is in it.
That's something. Mm-hmm.
That might be one of the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Which Zombieland looks pretty good, too, speaking of, because he introduced the 2012 panel, kind of, because he's in both of the movies.
Right.
But Zombieland, I don't know, I like zombie movies, so...
It's supposed to be like a comedy, too, right, isn't it?
Yeah,
that one, so far, it looks... I mean, obviously, so far, we've seen one little clip and a couple pictures and stuff. It just looks great. It's a zombie movie.
Yeah,
I mean, how bad can it be?
Yeah, really.
A pretty good clip from it. I thought that was a good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was intense, but it was really funny and.
They can run.
Yes, they're fast.
They're not.
Finally, like, well, you know, it's kind of hard to watch. That's the one thing about zombie movies. Like, they move so damn slow. How can you not outrun these guys? But. Yeah.
If you guys have seen Dawn of the Dead, I mean, the new Dawn of the Dead, they ran in that one. So that's something that they started to do in the last couple of years.
I'm not even a big zombie fan in the first place, but it would just seem like common logic that zombies wouldn't be able to run.
Right. Well, that's George A. Romero. If you ever hear him in an interview about why he never made, because he did Land, what was the last one he did?
Diary of the Dead.
Before that one. Land of the Dead, I think, right before that one.
And
that was after the remake of Diary of the Dead. And so his whole thing was that he's even though they had shown movies of zombies running, he said that he still didn't have zombies running because he's like, well, they're dead. They can't really think. They can't move very well. It's like they have just primal instinct. So
he had
a reason for it, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, not only that, but it was just like their bones are so brittle and they're just like they're lumping around and they're so.
What if you're a new zombie? What if you're a new zombie though? If you're a new zombie, then you can run. I'd imagine.
Maybe for a brief period of time.
If you're fresh out of the grave, you know?
Exactly. If you were just bitten and then just died.
Yeah, if you're hot off the press, then maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't think
so. 5 minutes before the zombie invasion occurred.
You're still juicy.
So did you guys see any other panels or clips that you thought were interesting?
Can we talk about the one panel that I went to Comic-Con exclusively for?
Oh, yeah.
It was Iron Man 2.
Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah, they showed a good portion of the clips.
8 minutes that may or may not end up on the internet somewhere.
but the thing that kind of sucked is they showed it twice when they could have been talking about the movie and, you know, it's like... Don Cheadle's like, oh, I didn't get to see it, so can you show it again? And everyone was kind of quiet. Like, the first time every time a new character came in, everyone's like, yeah, woo! Everyone's sitting there like, okay, we've seen this. We want to hear about the movie, you know?
Yeah.
So,
selfish bastard. Kinda,
selfish I know, how bastard. Dare
you? That was my thought, too. So.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing. I'm a huge Iron Man fan. I've seen it, like, 17,000 times. And I was so excited to be able to see this panel. It was great. It was great. 8 minutes of amazingness that opens with Tony Stark sitting in a donut shop.
Randy's Donut. Donut Hall. Which, funny, the panel before was 2012, and in that panel you see the donut from Randy's Donuts, like, rolling across LA Street. And then the next panel, I'm like, oh, okay, here's Tony just chilling in the donut
hole. In the donut hole, yeah. Talking to Samuel L. Jackson about the Avengers, so it was great.
That's cool.
I was kind of bummed Samuel L. Jackson wasn't in the panel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of wanted to see, but Sam Rockwell was, and I love him. And
oh, that's cool.
He looks like he's going to be pretty good in the movie.
Yeah, he plays Justin Hammer. That was cool. We didn't get to see much of him in the clip. We saw a little bit. But...
Yeah.
Did you see Whiplash, Mickey Rourke's character?
Oh, my
showed
God.
Whiplash. Mickey Rourke looks like he killed it in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be good. He wasn't there, but his costume looks good. His
get up. Those whips look freaking crazy too.
Did you see Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah,
she was there.
That's all
I care about.
Glory.
Jon Favreau said a funny comment about Scarlett Johansson, that she came into her audition with her hair already dyed like Black Widow.
Nice.
And he's like,
red.
You know, I really saw her commitment when she came in that way. And Robert Downey Jr. was like, please, you have your whole body of work to back up the way why you got Black Widow. So,
yeah.
You know. It was cool. It was a really good panel.
Robert Downey Jr. was cracking me up. The faces that man makes, man. Oh, God. They were showing Jon Favreau, and he was answering stuff, and then Robert Downey Jr. sitting right next to him, like, looking like, I don't know, every 5 seconds his facial expression would change, like, surprised, mad, and then he would, like, I don't know, it was great.
It was funny.
It was entertaining.
They had a cute little skit when they came out, like, Jon Favreau came out first, and he was like, well, I know you guys want to see some clips, so let's roll some clips, and the first clip they showed was, like, this really cheesy
30-second
thing, like, Iron Man 2 coming out in May 2010,
and everyone's like,
some weird explosion and some one face shot of, you know, Downey Jr., and it was, like, really cheap, and I literally looked at Rose, and I was like, if that's the only clip they're gonna show, I'm gonna be pissed. And then the lights came up, and Robert Downey Jr. walks out, and he was like, what is this bullshit? how the real clip come out? So that's when they showed the 8-minute clip.
Well, that's cool.
It was funny.
That's good. They didn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah. It was a good panel.
Yeah.
Did you guys see any of the Avatar stuff?
We did not. That was Thursday when it was overrun with Twilight people. So
yeah, that's a tough one.
I think it was Thursday anyway.
Yeah, I had work. So.
Twilight people make you want to leave and just not. Comic Con.
Did you see anything?
All right, I have one thing, because you said that you got to see a lot of the Hall H, right?
Yes.
And I think that Nightmare on Elm Street was Hall H, correct?
That might have been the day that we weren't able to get in.
Oh, that's what
I was. Yeah, I think that was the first day too.
Thursday was
no Hall H day.
I mean, the line literally wrapped around the entire convention center.
It's so crazy.
That's
like my biggest thing that I wanted to hear about that, so I'm going to leave. No, I'm
like, I'm done.
How many people does
podcast is over. Thanks.
Yeah.
How many people does Hall H hold?
6,000.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's it. Oh.
Yeah. That was my reaction. I'm not getting in.
What?
Yeah, like it. I mean, I don't think I can explain to you the huge size of the convention center, and the line did one of those roller coaster things where it like wraps back and forth, you know?
Right.
And then it went all the way down to the end of the convention center, across the street, down to San Diego Bay, like to Mexico, to South America. Like it was
New Jersey, actually.
It was huge. I mean, there had to have been when I got there. And I got there like 10 a.m. and that was like before the first panel even started. And there had to have been at least 3,000 people in line, at least.
Wow, you have to.
It's hot out there too. There's no shade or anything.
There's no shade. So. Yeah, it's you know.
You have to like camp out the night before or something.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet you people did.
There had to be. Yeah.
Or got there.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh, well, of course.
It's gotta be. But I think the last, like I said, when I lived out in San Diego, Comic-Con was there, but I was just so busy with work.
Hold on a second. There was an article I read about how many people camped out.
Oh, really?
Okay, there was some chick waiting in line with her family since 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday evening.
Oh, jeez.
What happens on Wednesday night? Sure. Isn't that, like, the special night for people who have the 4-day pass? So they just
There's, like, some special advance thing. Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, do they just sit there and watch everyone go in? I mean, wouldn't you want to go see that? So
I'd assume they'd accommodate you just for, you know, maybe feeling bad for you. But
here, have some water.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what separates me personally from other fans is that I don't know if I would camp out. Like, that would just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's exciting, but it's not like you're even seeing the actual... I mean, it's a great preview to the movie, but, I mean, if you're going to camp out for the real deal, you know?
The real movie,
camp out for the real movie when, you know...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It's just, like, that's one thing that's tough.
And they're abundant at Comic-Con. Lines for everything.
Free bags and...
That should be part of our tip section, is bring an iPod, bring a book.
There you go.
Or buy a comic. I bought Freshman. I finally got it after 4 years of being there wanting to get that comic, and I'm super excited. So if you get something like that, you know, you can hang out and just read. Or also, I think people kind of underestimate the smaller panels too.
Oh yeah.
I didn't really get to go to a lot this year, but last year and the year before, I went to a lot of the small panels, and it's really interesting, just even like things that I wasn't necessarily interested in. I went to like a DC one, and they had a bunch of artists talking about their work and showing their work and showing like the new things to come. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was kind of nice because it was so small and it was really interesting. And like, there was a couple this year that I kind of missed that I wanted to go to. Like, there was one about drawing comics. And they gave advice, and there was also, a voiceover acting kind of like one, like tips for people. And there's just some really good things. Like, I think if there's something obscure that you really like, that's when it's like, really pays off, because you don't have to fight through hordes of people.
Yeah.
And it's more, you know, you and that, you can see the people's faces from your seat.
That's always good.
Yeah. And I think that people ask better questions and stuff. So I think that's one good thing that I really like about Comic-Con is the smaller panels as well. They're very underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially.
Did you guys meet anyone special?
Did we meet anybody special? No, I don't think so. No.
Fail.
I've met some of the people outside of Comic-Con. I have to say, I met Jon Favreau. Is that his last name?
Favreau.
I met him once. I'm not gonna say anything else.
He seems like a cool dude.
No, no.
Well, you're editing this, right?
Yeah. Why?
Okay. Well, only one way to find out.
I'm sorry. Edit this out. Because I don't want him to come after me. But
okay.
I met him, and I love his work, and I think he's a really great guy. But he shook my hand, and it was like the weakest handshake of the century. Like,
oh.
Please don't put this on. But yeah, I was just kind of like, wow. Like, I guess I judge people by their handshake. You gotta have a strong handshake. You know, I think it says something about you. But I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great director, and I'm really stoked for Iron Man for him, because that was kind of his last chance. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
And now I heard someone saying, you know, his salary has doubled since the last one, and I'm like, good for him, man. Because I know it was tough, and I know he even said that Iron Man was his last chance to be a director, basically.
Wow. So. He definitely pulled it off.
Yeah. But I actually met Robert Pattinson, too.
Really?
Last year in L.A. And he's actually a really decent guy. He was kind of drunk.
He's not a dick. Don't worry about it.
No, he's not. No, but you would just assume. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to edit this one out. Because I thought he was really nice. He talked to me for a little while, and I told him that I thought it was really funny that thousands of screaming girls would love to scratch my eyes out. But I got to meet him, so.
Very nice. He has that, I know he has that British accent, which is so weird, because it's the comparison, but, you know, everyone sees him in the movie, and then in real life he actually has the accent.
British accent. Even those accents.
Harry Potter fans will think of Cedric Diggory. So
yeah.
We thought of him as the British first, and
when he started speaking
with an American accent, it was weird.
It was kind of weird.
I always find that interesting. Anyone you know with like a thick, heavy accent from anywhere else, you know, they can just drop it in half a second flat if they need to.
Yeah.
It's so like
Hugh
ridiculous.
Laurie. Yeah, Hugh Laurie from House is a great example.
Yeah, or like Anna Torv from Fringe or something. She's got that thick old accent, and then she just gone in half a second if she wants to do it.
But I guess in District 9 they didn't need to do that. So because I was watching them, Neil and Peter and all them, because Neil's from New Zealand, and then watching all those guys up there, and they all have like these really thick accents. It was really funny.
I know it's filmed there,
but I just think it's funny.
Is he from New Zealand? I thought he was from South Africa.
No. Peter Jackson. I mean, Peter Jackson.
Oh, Peter Jackson. Oh.
Yeah, Neil's obviously from South Africa, but no, Peter Jackson's from New Zealand.
I have to say, I love South African accents. I think they're
If anything, it was just because, you know, it was from their hometown, and it was in their natural blood.
Oh, yeah. But, I just think thick accents are really funny.
Yeah.
Alright, so is there,
You're gonna be okay, Kelsey? She thinks my comment about South African accents were... I like them.
I think they're
very beautiful.
We're running on 2 hours of sleep, so
we had a crazy night. So,
anyways,
move along.
Let's go.
So for all the guys out there, Rose is interested in men with South African accents.
Yes.
Long walks on the beach.
Long walks on the beach. My number is... No, just kidding. Yeah, right.
Must be South African.
There you
must be South African.
I could just see your Craigslist posting right now.
Miss Connection.
Miss Connection.
You, the tall South African boy at Comic-Con.
Me, the available one.
The one with brown hair.
That looks like a zombie.
Yeah. On Thursday.
Speaking of which, you guys did the zombie walk, right?
Yeah.
We did do the zombie walk.
How was that?
You know, we did the zombie walk.
Okay.
No, we did the zombie walk last year, and it was really cool because there was a small amount of people.
Group.
People were really into it.
Elaborate costumes.
Oh yeah, I mean, we saw zombies of all sorts and shapes,
all
and
sorts,
sizes, and
various ways of dying. That
yes.
was good.
Tennis zombies,
waitress zombies.
Yeah,
that was good.
Actually, we saw some good ones this year too, but there were so many people that it just got out of control, like, because we couldn't see the front of the line, and then the people in the back were just not into it, you know, they're just walking around, like, I'm like, you're a zombie, you gotta do the leg drag and the grunt, you know, you gotta, like, stare at people and drool and all that good stuff, so.
Yeah, I think this year it was tied in with Zombieland, it was, like, part of their marketing, so
right.
That's how they did, they were doing the free zombie makeovers, inside on the floor at Comic-Con.
So, let's talk about, some other Comic-Con stuff. Olivia Munn is probably my one I care about. she's on Attack of the Show and,
yeah.
On G4, so she was there, wore a bunch of outfits.
Yeah, I heard about that, Matt freaked out over it, all
yeah,
that.
She's pretty hot. So you can go to, her site and you can see some of her behind-the-scenes stuff. She had some interesting things and everyone loves her because
yeah.
she's the gamer hottie.
She's the video game chick.
Yeah. Like we talked about the Iron Man 2 panel.
Yes.
And the viral they have for it too, which is pretty interesting. The whole StarkIndustries.com where you can sign up to become, you know, maybe join the company. But there's some hard questions on there.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to have to know it to...
Yeah, I wonder... What I'm interested in is how are they going to choose if it is something where they get back to you? How are they?
Could just be at random, pick
yeah.
random people who, or they actually might go through most of them and say, "Wow, an educated guest, I accept you."
Yeah, really. So that'd be interesting to see that. Talked about the District 9 panel and everything, but they had the screening, which had a lot of great positive.
Yeah, the fan screening. Awesome
yeah.
responses from everyone involved.
Yeah, so that's definitely good. Look forward to seeing that in a couple weeks. And I was glad that, you know, like I said, with Kelsey and Rose both getting really excited about something that, you know, they hadn't even heard
yeah.
of before. So I think it's really cool that, you know, that has the ability to kind of grab people in.
Yep.
And yeah, just Nightmare on Elm Street had a presence there. I know Scott was really interested in that.
Yeah, a lot of people were excited for that.
But, you know, again, you know, the issue is, we were just mentioning this off the podcast, you were mentioning the idea that, you know, it's just another slasher film. No matter how many times you try to redo these things.
It's still the same.
It's still a slasher film. So, but, you know, Jack Earlyhair, he's really getting a lot of press lately because of the...
I'll give him that. He does make a good Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make the film necessary or even... give it potential,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah, but so, of course, we'll have to see, but yeah, not something I'm too particularly interested in. The Avatar stuff was pretty interesting, you know, not the Airbender crap, the James Cameron stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the actual, you know, were they a panel there, or they just have footage, or?
I believe they had a panel.
Yeah, and then obviously there's Avatar Day, which they,
as it's become known.
Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be showing 15 minutes of, the movie on, what is it, August 21st?
August 21st. I assume they're going to release a time for it.
Yeah.
They just said they're going to do it in 3D theaters, in as many 3D theaters as they can, as many as will let them.
Yeah. So,
15 minutes of free footage. What can go wrong?
I know. So that definitely, you know, pay attention to that. See if you can catch a glimpse
yeah.
of that, because that's supposed to be... That's a really anticipated film.
Yeah, we're going to follow that one.
Yeah.
That should have a viral campaign.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if
I know they launched an official website for it.
Right. So we'll see if they go that route or not.
It's got great potential for a viral.
Definitely. They had the Kick-Ass panel, which we, neither of us actually read it much about, but apparently I was pretty excited about. A lot of people are excited about that.
Yeah, a few people are excited for that. Never really got on my radar.
Yeah.
If we're gonna sound snooty about it.
I don't know, really. The Tron 2 viral probably is one of the bigger things we should talk about.
Yeah, that was huge. Shall I go over it once again?
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, we know okay. we talk about it a little bit on one of the articles, but kind of just do a brief review of it.
Take two on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times they did it over the span of the Comic-Con, but the opening night, about 500 people who I believe were invited to that beforehand showed up at a place they were told to go, and they were given black lights, and I'm not sure what else, but they were told that there were 6 posters hidden around the area in a span of like 5, 6, or 7 blocks. And when you found the posters, you had to shine the black light on them, and those would give you coordinates. So when you got all the coordinates, they put them together, and it ended up at a real Flynn's arcade that Disney had poured millions of dollars into building. There were real arcade games in there. There was the classic Space Asteroids, all that stuff. In a secret back room, there was an actual life-size light cycle, not one that you could ride, but an actual light cycle. They were all given Flynn's arcade tokens, some other cool swag, bunch of shirts, all that stuff, the norm. And from everyone I've heard that was in the viral, I know Alex Billington from First Showing, I believe Devendra from Slash Film did it. They all said it was really cool. One of the highlights of the Comic-Con.
Right.
And overall, just a big success.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it'd been interesting to see how much more they do with that, because I mean they really went all out for the Comic-Con.
They did.
2012 did a lot too.
Yeah, they were looking for ambassadors.
Yeah, they had the 2012.
They're utilizing Twitter to decide the post-apocalypse leaders of the world.
Yeah, they had a lot of things where you come to this site and you get stuff like they Twitter.
Meet us here at 9:30 in the morning.
Right, or something.
Inconspicuous corner.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The whole idea that Comic-Con's such a great venue for doing viral, because you have the audience right there, and you have so many people. It's perfect.
The main viral audience. I mean, the same people who are at Comic-Con are the same people who are sitting at home working on virals.
Right, exactly. Also,
I want to go back to the Tron viral for a second. I think a couple days before Comic-Con started, a bunch of film sites, by a bunch, I mean 5, I think, who got them? First Showing, Joe Blow. Who else got them, do you know?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but they got Flynn's, what was it? I think it was like WBM, a company in San Diego, sent them all packages that had some Flynn's arcade tokens and a flash drive with 1 GIF, 2 GIF, 3 GIF, 4 GIF, and 5 GIF written on them. Every website got a different number. When you entered them, when you got them on, it was like a GIF image with a bunch of like, I don't think it was HTML code. It was like a different type of code going. And I think when you connected them all, it spelled out a message that unlocked a site, FlynnLives.com, and it had Flynn, Jeff Bridges from Tron 1. It said everyone thought he was dead. No one knew what happened to him, but he was alive. He was alive, blah, blah, blah. Setting up for the sequel. Sequel. With his son, I guess, going into it, and all that stuff. Other than that, there was the Tron test footage / trailer.
Yeah, which looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, which looked awesome.
Yeah, it had, try to keep the feel of the original, but, modernize it a little bit. Alice in Wonderland had a presence there at Comic-Con. What did you think of it? The footage, they had a trailer.
I'm sorry, I totally just zoned out. What movie are we talking about?
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, right. I thought it looked phenomenal. The trailer, it's totally got the Tim Burton trippy feel to it. I don't think it's done yet, as in like visual effects wise.
Right.
But it still looks awesome. I think Johnny Depp nailed the Mad Hatter, or is in the process of. I don't want to say nailing the Mad Hammer because that would be a little bit rude, but it looks like he steals the show once again. What's new with Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
But
It seems interesting.
It just seems like Tim Burton should do something without Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it looks like he has very similar styles, similar actors he likes to use. Just kind of, I think he gets into a little bit of a rut. Needs to get out of that.
It's kind of like he's the old school Judd Apatow, where he's got Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, and all them. It's got like the same people in all of his movies.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's got to find a way to try to break out of that. Maybe go back to like Batman style.
Yeah.
An interesting thing that we just got from, I think it was today, the information on Avengers, where we know that at the very least we're definitely going to have Captain America, Iron Man, Nick Fury, and who else? Oh, Thor. So those are like the ones that we're guaranteed to have. They talked about the bringing in some other ones, maybe from the Hulk universe, but I found it interesting that they didn't mention Hulk specifically.
Yeah, like we said, if you're going to bring in people from the Hulk universe, you at least have to cameo the Hulk. And if you're going to cameo the Hulk, that seems like a character that you don't cameo, you have in the movie.
Yeah, because he'd be a big help to you if you're the Avengers. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the idea of maybe it's because Ed Norton didn't want to come back, that's possible. But I think what it really is, I mean, you have to realize that you can do Hulk without Ed Norton. So, I mean, the question
just is... Just don't make it Eric Bana.
Yeah, exactly. So why... You know, interesting question to be, if they don't have him in there, why not? So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I definitely want to see that movie, of course, whether there's a Hulk or not. So
yeah, too bad it got pushed back a year.
Right. Well, you know, you got to make sure you make time for everything.
What else had a presence?
Well, we had Gary Oldman mention that Batman's probably shooting next year.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting. Also, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates 4.
Yeah, the fourth one, they had another one. Wanted 2 is about to start shooting.
They said they were gonna start shooting like 8 weeks, but then I think someone said that that was pre-production in 8 weeks, and I think they're gonna start shooting, judging by that, maybe sometime near the end of the year.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. Yeah, so there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, you can go onto our site to find some information. First Showing is a great site to look for. Yes. Stuff. There's just so much stuff to try to
good
cover.
Good friends of ours.
Yeah, there's so much stuff to try to cover. It's just, you know, it'd be kind of crazy to try to say every little tidbit that we learned from Comic-Con.
Slash Film and First Showing.
Yeah, they're both good sites. So
very good sites to cover.
Yeah,
but, you know, don't forget about us.
Yeah, always, especially when it comes to the viral. And of course, you have the Lost Viral that just came out. Just want to mention that real quick because you just saw it today. I thought that was kind of interesting. The idea of them going back to doing Viral again since they went away from it for a couple years.
Did they do a Viral before for a different season?
Yeah, between the first and second, and between the second and third, they had Virals. But they were a little confusing. You had to be really kind of a diehard fan, and so they kind of went back to that now this season. I think really to push for obviously the end of the series. You know,
yeah.
So. You know, it's pretty cool. If you go to their site, you see it there. If you go to LostUniversity.com, it's kind of a way for you to learn about Lost. It's really cool.
Basically, the only thing this viral goes through is Lost University. You go to LostUniversity.org, fill out a form for enrollment. I think enrollment starts on September 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Semester 1 officially starts on December 8th. Again, since everything's a mystery with the show, that probably has some significance with the dates.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bunch of different classes like time travel, quantum mechanics, us versus them theories, all that really hardcore high-tech stuff.
Right.
Through 2 semesters. And I think there was one class where the teacher was someone from the show.
Yeah.
I don't remember who, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out there, you see, there's also the mysteries a video that they have. It looks like it takes place like in the, you know, 70s or whatever. It's an interesting thing where they kind of treat Dharma as like a conspiracy. So there's a lot of cool things to see on the site.
Yeah.
And then they had a one more viral we should mention is a music viral, which I know you were covering for Muse.
Indeed.
Let's quickly go over that.
Yes, let's. A couple weeks ago, in support of their new album, The Resistance, which has nothing to do with Terminator, they had a viral campaign for one of the songs called The United States of Eurasia. And what they did was they had USB ports hidden all around different places of the world. And off the top of my head, there was like London, Dubai, I think Berlin, maybe not, Tokyo, Hong Kong, all that. And they had like secret agents looking over the USB ports. I don't know what you had to do to get them once you found them. I don't know if you had to throw down or, you know, thumb war with them or play a game of chess.
Right.
Or sit down for crumpets, whatever. But you got the ports. And they had info on them. It was unitedeurasia.muse.mu, which is their site. You went to it, and you get, what am I trying to say? You you entered the info they gave you on the ports, and you got a puzzle. When you solved the puzzle, you got like 30 to 40 seconds of the song, depending on what file it was. And then when you got all the parts of the song from like the six or seven different ports, you had to put them together into a song called The United States of Eurasia. And did you listen to the song?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Don't be. It's a decent song. I'm not the biggest Muse fan. I like a few of their songs, but it's really Queenish. It's got that totally Bohemian Rhapsody feel where it's the piano intro for a while with the vocals over it, and then it bursts into this epic grand composition about politics and going to war and all this stuff, which I just don't like. I don't think Muse should be delving into that, but it's their choice.
Yeah.
It's a decent song, but we're not here to critique because everyone knows I hate everything. But that's pretty much what the Muse viral was. They might do it for another song because I know there's a three-part huge orchestra symphony song called Exogenesis, I believe. So that might have something for it. But the album drops on September 14th. So, look for it then.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, I think that we kind of covered a lot of the good stuff.
Yep.
So, that's it for us here at Movie Viral. We'll be back with Nick hosting the podcast. So, stay tuned for that. This should be up on iTunes by Monday. So, you can download it there. You can, you'll be listening to the site, however you're listening to it. All right, well, thanks for being with me, Ian, and
thanks for inviting me,
and thanks for Scott for being here for the short time that he was. and Rose and Kelsey, of course. Stay tuned the next coming days for a special song from Kelsey and Rose on their experience at Comic-Con.